From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 21st day of October 2011, the very first full day of our fall pledge drive. Have you dialed this number yet? 217-244-9455. If not, and you may not know what it means, I'll tell you a whole bunch of times why you should during this half hour of the Closing Market Report. We'll also talk with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Bruce Bostard from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, will help us take a look at the cash grain market. The agricultural weather will be covered by Steve Hilberg at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. And our own Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, will be here from Illinois Public Media. And it all happens on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of IPM. That's public radio for the farming world from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby soft red winter wheat, a penny and a quarter higher, $6.32 the settlement price. The March at 665 and three quarters, up 2 3/4. But the July, the new crop harvest month, down 3 1/4 today at $6.97.5. The hard red in Kansas City settled 5 cents lower at $7.05, or rather $7.51 for the day. December futures from the corn pit back in Chicago, 1/4 cent lower, 6.49 1/4. March at 6.60, 3/4 higher. May at 6.65 1/2 up 1. July at 6.70 up 1 1/4. And September, 6.25 1/4 up 3/4 cent. December futures 3 higher at 6.03 1/4. November beans for the day down 12 3/4 cent. Settlement price at 12.12 1/4. January at 12.20 3/4 down 9 3/4. And March soybeans at $12.29 1/2 down 8 1/4. May futures 12.35 1/2, 8 cents lower. November beans of next year $12.08 3/4 cent, down 3 1/2 cents. Bean meal at $3.16.50, down $3.80. Bean oil at $51.25, 14 cents lower. Live cattle futures December contract 122.15, up 35 for the afternoon. October feeders at 139.40, that's 12 1/2 cents higher. November there at 142.72 1/2, up 70 cents. And December lean hogs, $89.65, finished down 32 1/2 cents. February at $92.02 1/2, down 47 1/2 cents. You are listening to Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. A quick look at the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil futures at $87.33, up $1.29. Ethanol at 265.5, 2 3/10 higher. Natural gas at 364, that's 1/10 cent, or rather a penny higher for the day. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.02 3/10 cent, just about unchanged. Gold at $1,635.10, $23.20 higher. The Dow at 11,753, up 211 points. In studio with us this afternoon is the Director of Ag Programming for Illinois Public Media, Dave Dickey. Good afternoon, Dave. Sounds like you had a great morning raising, well, a little bit of money for our public radio station and willag.org.
Indeed we did, Todd. And the interesting news about this is we have a challenge underway from Risk Management Commodities. They're going to add $500 to our total. Stuart Peterson in Champaign and Jackie Vakes during the pre-opening commodity market report says her organization would throw in another $500. So we have $1,000 on the table right now. And, Todd, we only need to hear from one person.
I'm going to bet that we already took care of that. I think we did that, but I don't know that. So I'm going to say we did.
But
it doesn't matter because maybe we haven't. and we don't know, really.
Well, we don't know. And don't assume that your farmer or producer across the fields is getting that phone call. Why don't you be the one that gets that done? 217-244-9455, the number to call. Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Discover Card.
It's all really simple and easy to do. Just dial the number, 217-244-9455. Do it right now. If you happen to be listening online, you can do it at willpledge.org or just go to willag.org, that place you're used to going to, and it's up in the right-hand corner of the page, right, Dave?
That's right.
Indeed it is. This is the closing market report. It is a Friday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Hi, Todd. A big thank you to all those who supported us today on my behalf. That was very nice of all of you, and we really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. You probably had a whole bunch of folks calling in this morning, too, when you were on the air with Dave Dickey, our Director of Ag Programming, right?
Yeah, it's amazing how much support everybody always comes through for the ag.
Well, they need to keep doing it because 40% of the funding that helps to operate our ag programming and our home radio station, which is a public radio station, some of our affiliates, of course, are commercial radio stations, and we're glad to share our programming with them. But the programming itself is paid for in large part by you, our listeners. So if you're a listener on our affiliates, if you listen online, if you listen to the podcast, if you use our smartphone, however you manage to hear or get information from us, including our weekend newsletter, which Dave Dickey writes, belly up right now. It'd be a good time to do that, 217-244-9455. And we'll give you a little bit of time to do that because we do want to talk to Mike about what happened in Chicago today and for the week. What did you find of most interest?
I think the best way to explain today and all this week, Todd, and we've talked about this because of the fill-in that I did earlier this week, is the technicals. And it was really amazing to see that December corn slid, with beans leading it, slid right back down to its 200-day moving average, dropped just above it. The dollar and its 200-day moving average came right back into focus as a result as well. So I think the best way to explain today and the fact that we had good fundamental outside news in terms of currency news and speculation that the Federal Reserve might turn on the quantitative easing spigot, the idea that maybe Europe is going to come up with something hard and fast this weekend, and also the fact that the Japanese central bank came in and supported their currency. I think the best way to describe it is that the technicals were in charge this week. We had that good fundamental news earlier this morning. We shot higher on the opening, but the technicals did not break higher. In other words, we had a trend line of resistance in the beans that we couldn't penetrate, and the dollar didn't want to go any lower. It didn't seem like it was treading water right around that 200-day moving average. So those strong fundamentals in the outside markets were trumped by the technicals once again, and I think the selling ensued. And what we've seen here the past 3 weeks, really since the October lows, the first of October lows were made, what we've really seen here is there's no confidence in the fundamentals. The micro fundamentals of supply and demand are good, and they're improving in a lot of ways, but the technicals are really in control because those outside market fundamentals are kind of trumping the supply-demand fundamentals. So we continue on this pattern, and like we talked about earlier this week, we're really at the mercy of the European crisis in the Asian markets until more is known.
So tell me more about the fundamental news that pushed the marketplace higher, because it jumped through, what, that 655, 656 level, and then all the way up to 665 and a half before it really started to drop back down.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that happened late in the week, especially yesterday, was the new NOAA forecast. The 30-day and 90-day forecasts really matched up well with the private one that I did this past weekend with my major consultant. And he talked about how it does not look like we're going to have any relief in the southern plains. And for the central and western corn belt, especially for the next 2 to 3 months, it's really going to trend probably below normal to normal precip. And National Weather Service NOAA update did come out saying the exact same thing. So I think that's where the Kansas City wheat and the harvest delays with the corn, with the rains falling this week, that's where the feed grains found most of the support. And there was no question on anybody's mind, whoever I talked to this week, that the trade was probably seeing an immense amount of bean selling and corn buying. And in fact, the Friday volume today in soybeans for the futures was reported by one news wire at 260,000 contracts. That's 15% above the 30-day average. So we've beat the beans down to such a discount that now the bean-corn ratio is the lowest it's been this year and also at a 10-year low, and that's something that maybe we'll be able to get time to talk about on Commodity Week as well.
Indeed, we will have Commodity Week. You're coming over this afternoon. We'll record that at 4:30. John Bondurant is our guest. Should be a fun one. Dale Dirkles will be in studio along with Ellen Dearden and you, Mike Zuzalo, for Commodity Week. You can listen on some of our affiliate stations. Check out those times there. Or you can listen on our home station at WILL. Airs at 11:30 and Dave Dickey, 6:30 a.m. in the
6:30,
morning.
6:30, I believe.
So,
yes.
Yeah, that's correct. So you can pick it up there, too. Or you can always pick it up off of willag.org. You mentioned the wheat, and fundamentally that it didn't look like we were going to get a lot of rainfall in that southern part of the United States. They're still pretty tough. The Southern Plains is a hard red winter wheat growing region. Can wheat futures lead corn higher eventually, do you think?
I think between now and the holidays it can, Todd. I think that's where the bean technicals probably look the best, and the wheat technicals are a close second. I think if anything, going into next week, the corn looks most susceptible to maybe some profit-taking, especially if we get the harvesting picked up again. Now, we did get a good cattle on feed report this afternoon. The numbers came in bigger for placements at 100% on feed numbers for October 1, 105, right on the top end of estimates. So bearish feeders, but very friendly corn. That kind of goes in the medium-term fundamental category that corn demand is ramping up. It is firm. We had the Chinese demand this week, and more of it is expected. One of the things that beans didn't get was fresh news from the Chinese. That's probably one of the big reasons why we continue to see the beans sold and the corn bought throughout the week, along with the wheat support that the corn was getting too.
Now, not that number, while it was big, would not have been unexpected given the number of cattle that have emptied out of Texas and the Southwest.
That's exactly right. Yeah, but it was the 105 was about a point above the average estimate for on feed. The placements at 100 were about 3 points above the average estimate. So I think the trade was settling into well below 100. So I think that's where the placement. And interesting to notice, the placements below 600 pounds, 34% above last month. So you hit it on the nose. These are probably the Southern Plains guys throwing in the towel because of no relief in their hay pasture, hay costs, feed grain costs too high. So they're probably pushing everything into feedlots at this point.
Calls into question the grain stocks report and then the WASDE numbers.
As usual.
Yeah. And one looking back at feed usage, the other one looking forward and saying we're not going to use as much. Really what... And they talked about it at the USDA meeting earlier in the week in Chicago, data users meeting. Did you hear anything out of that made you think that they can get a better handle on where corn usage is actually happening?
Yeah, I'm baking into the marketing plan for 2012 that we're going to have less and less information because they're going to kill off some of these reports. And if their data continues to be construed as not timely, they'll probably continue to kill off reports. So at face value, I think that the trade after the USDA supply-demand report really questions what the usage is going to be in the following reports of November, December, January. I will say that, again, like we talked about after the report came out, that the competition is there. The competitive supplies are there. Ukraine, Germany, a lot of foreign grain being sold, and some of these numbers are continuing to be ratcheted up. Australia's numbers were ratcheted up this week as well, and we saw South Korea come in this morning and buy some feed wheat from who we think was either the Black Sea or Australia. So the competition's there, unlike a year ago, but the demand numbers, I think USDA's a long way from getting any kind of solid bias formed or any kind of trend formed, and I think that's where the trade sits right now.
You've been talking about the soybean market just a bit as we made our way through this and the corn and the wheat and thinking that soybeans will be higher next week and that the technicals might be in place to do that. But when I look at the lead option on that or the harvest month for soybeans, we've got, an outside down, or we'd have a hook down day. We have a week that is not all that great looking. And the month, although, on the other hand, does hook up, I guess. So where do you see the technicals being good?
Well, I think the technicals are good from a standpoint that they have the most discount. I think the weekly chart would suggest that we are oversold enough and the daily chart is not overbought as much as the corn, that we are not overbought enough on a daily basis. I don't want to pretend to say that the beans are going to rally next week. I just think they're at a discount compared to corn. So if I were going to choose to sell something, it would be corn over beans because of the ratio and because of the thumping that the beans took. I mean, we lost almost 58 cents this week in November beans. Wheat and corn both gained 9.25 cents identically with one another. So I think we've been in this kind of mindset to beat up on the beans, and I think we're probably coming to the end of that mindset if some of these weekly chart indicators are accurate.
Are you of a mind that volatility will be great or narrower, and I suppose trading range by default, as we make our way from now until the winter months?
Until the European situation is settled in the financial markets, and how do we know that? Well, I think the currencies are our best bet to watch whether we can stay below the 200-day moving average in the dollar, or if, and that's a bullish scenario for the grains, or the 136.50 level is hit and taken out and we fall below that in the D-Euro, that's a bearish fundamental or a bearish technical. I think until we get something solid out of Europe, I think it's going to continue to be extremely volatile, and daily trading ranges are going to be extremely wide, and you will see days of extremely heavy volume followed by very, very thin days. I think over the medium term, Todd, what we're starting to see between the tightened regulations and increasing bank problems in Europe, we're starting to see French banks pull money out of commodities. I think when funds come back in, they'll probably come in with less horsepower and less volume over the longer medium term. But for the short term, I would say hold on. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
Hey, I heard you traded in the Prius for more horsepower. You've got a big Hummer you're coming over in today.
That's exactly right. When we went below $4 a gallon gas, I thought, hey, what the heck? Let's just go ahead and run over stuff and drive in the median and everything.
You know, we're only kidding.
That's exactly right.
We'll see you in a couple hours, okay?
Okay, thanks, Todd.
Thanks much. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Hey, have you made that phone call yet? 217-244-9455 or picked us up at willpledge.org, WILLAG.org, and pledged your financial support for this agricultural programming that comes to you from the public radio station right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. No? Well, why not? Probably better do it right now. The time is right now, isn't it, Dave Dickey, to dial the number?
217-244-9455.
Hey, there are a couple of things that we need to take up because we need that one phone call. We haven't checked, I don't think, even to know whether we have it or not. But it matters not. Just make those phones ring. It's perfectly fine. 217-244-9455. Dave Dickey and I like what level, Dave?
$120
you
level.
You betcha, $120 level. Less is fine. More is magnificent. No matter how that is done, Dave, they get to be entered in the Allendale ticket offer.
Yes,
and
they do.
People will get Allendale tickets, won't they?
Yes, they do. We're going to, anybody who pledges agricultural programming during our pledge week will be entered into the drawing to receive one of 10 tickets to attend Allendale's 24th Annual Ag Leaders Conference. The ticket value, Todd, $299. You don't have to pledge to get in on the drawing. If you just want to call the number and get on the pledge, you can. But we hope you will take the opportunity to make a pledge of financial support to the Agricultural Service. So dial 217-244-9455. Say where you're in support of agriculture. And don't miss your chance. Only 10 tickets. And we thank Paul Georgie and the folks at Allendale for making that offer possible. Another way, a neat new way, actually, of making a contribution to our agricultural offerings is by a gift of grain. If you would like to make a gift of grain to WILL, tell the phone operator at 217-244-9455 that you want to contribute grain. You'll be asked for your name and contact information, and then the staff right here at the radio station will mail you the information that you need when our fall membership drive is over.
And that is a really great way to make a contribution and to double up on how you manage that because, you know, there are some tax benefits. You heard Gary Hoff talk about that, University of Illinois specialist in tax preparation and what that really meant. We'll make sure that all the proper paperwork gets to you. All you have to do is tell them that you want to make a gift of grain and we'll get the paperwork to you and it will all happen. Hey, a few folks to thank at this point. We made it, Davey, and I thought we would for sure, but absolutely. Jack Dorn, I think that's the way that's pronounced, of Moments, John Clark right here in Champaign, Robert Burton of Onarga.
Marvelous.
And John Adams. Thanks, John. Atlanta, Illinois, four pledges in. That was pretty early on, so we bet there are more than that. Why don't you join them right now at 217-244-9455. Pledge your financial support to the ag programming from Illinois Public Media. On the phone line with us to take a look at the cash grain market today, Bruce Bostert, as always, on a Friday afternoon at the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. Hi, Bruce.
Hi there.
Well, tell me about basis levels in your area, please.
The basis just keeps improving out here on the nearbys. Looks like processors are trying to put some additional coverage on to cover up the period between now and the 1st of January. Corn, we were 4 under the D's last Friday. We're 1 over the D's. Beans moved from 28 under to 20 under. So some nice pops on the nearby bases.
And has it enticed anybody to make a new sale across the scale or to open a bin door up that's already been closed?
Well, we're not in the open the bin door category. We still have some things coming in across the scale, and we've got a one-week pricing window. So with basis improvement and seeing some pops during the days has encouraged some cash movement. We've had some big buy-in days through the course of this last week.
All right. And you think that's the right thing to do?
At one over, it's hard to argue with that for something at this time of year. And you look at it, the spreads have come in. Things have been flat. We had, depending on the D's March spread, we had things even go inverse for a little bit sometimes this week.
You're in East Central Illinois. How is the farmland looking? Flatter now?
Flatter now, coming out. Beans, I'm thinking I'm probably 90% done on soybeans. Corn, really a tremendous variance between the south end of our territory and the north end. You know, south end, we're three-quarters of the way done. North end's 50, 60%. So we're going to have a big weekend.
And you'll stay open, I take it.
Oh, yeah.
And when you expect that everything will be shutting down for the most part?
I hate to project that. It's like jinxing it.
Okay, we won't, because it'll rain if you do.
Yep.
All right. What are your bids for the day?
We are at $6.50 on nearby corn and $11.92 on soybean.
Thanks so much, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us here on this Friday afternoon to take up the cash grain market. Have you dialed this number yet? 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support for the agricultural programming from Illinois Public Media. First, Dave Dickey, and I really do thank you. It makes a lot of difference to us, and it's very gratifying that you call in. We're here because we like what we do.
Absolutely.
And we really like what we do. We hope we do it really well. And that bringing the markets and the weather to you is important enough for you to pledge your financial support. It's what we want to do. It's what we say we're going to do, and it's what we hope to deliver, isn't it, Dan?
It's a partnership, Todd.
I mean,
for the last 7 or 8 years since I've been agricultural director at Illinois Public Media, WILO 580, AM 580, we've continued to build the service, and we build it because we believe in it, and we build it because we offer the things that we think that help you make smart marketing decisions. And so over the time, we've added a phone service, the Ag e-newsletter, extended outings in the evenings with our Outlook panels, a phone service. And of late, the latest thing is the smartphone app, smartphone website on your phone.
Which you predicted we would in our last spring fun drive,
I did.
And I didn't think that would happen, but we managed to pull it off.
Yeah, m.willag.org, m.willag.org, all of our analysis, as well as agricultural news from the College of Aces at the University of Illinois. And it's all because of you supporting this service. 217-244-9455 is the number to call.
You betcha. 217-244-9455. Dial in your pledge of financial support right now. Dave and I like the $120 level. Less is perfectly fine. More is great. If you want to give grain, that's fantastic. There's some real tax benefits for you. And you can do that. Just tell them when you call up that you're pledging in support of ag and you're pledging grain. They'll understand and we'll send you paperwork. Call in now at 217-244-9455. Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. We'll say so long to some of our radio stations at this point. For the rest of you, we'll be back in just a few moments.
It's National Pumpkin Cheesecake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1785, Henry Miller Shreve was born. An American steamboat designer, he helped develop the commercial potential of the inland waterways of the Mississippi River system. He created snag boats with a jaw-like bow able to pull up tree trunks and put them through a sawmill on their deck. Shreve's work was a major contribution to steamboat traffic on the Mississippi prior to the Civil War. In 1852, John Fowler was issued a patent for improvements in machinery for draining land, the first patent for steam cultivation. The mull drainage plow helped Irish peasants drain their peat bogs, making potato planting possible. In 1879, Thomas Edison demonstrated the first commercially practical light bulb at his laboratory in New Jersey. Edison experimented with thousands of filaments before discovering carbonized sewing thread did the job. The bulb lasted for 40 hours before burning out. And in 1990, Tom Carvel died. He was the inventor of the soft serve ice cream machine. And that's this day in agricultural history.
It's the Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast as Steve Hilberg. He's at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weekend. We're finishing football up, and lots of folks will want to know that they can play some good games over the weekend.
Yeah, tonight for all the Friday night high school games should be a beautiful night. So chilly, but fortunately, there won't be much wind, and it'll be a perfect night for football, and much of the day tomorrow, too, for all the college games going on in the Midwest, including Illinois-Purdue. So it looks like we got some great weather, with actually gradually warming up through the weekend and into early part of next week.
And the Cardinals will be interested to see what's happening in other parts of the world.
Yeah, I suppose they would be.
Oh, you didn't get it.
I'm not a Cardinals fan. Okay, yeah. Down in Texas, of course, no real problems down there. They've been under a huge drought there. There may be some scattered showers this weekend, actually in northern Texas, but chances are pretty low at this point. So most of the central part of the country looks in pretty good shape until about the middle of next week.
We're not done with harvest yet, so you said it looks like weekend's going to be fine. How about next week?
I think it'll be okay probably into Tuesday afternoon. And then beginning Tuesday afternoon into Wednesday and Thursday, looks like we're going to have a cold front be sagging down right over Illinois and sort of orient itself east, southeast, west, north, or rather west, northwest, east, northeast, west, southwest, basically bisecting the state, and it's going to sag very slowly, so we'll see some rain moving and developing along that. So looks like central Illinois in particular and parts of northeastern Illinois could get another good soaking maybe Wednesday or Thursday next week. And then after that, once that pushes through, things will turn colder, and looks like, you know, into next weekend we'll be getting some good weather again, but that middle part of the weekend looks pretty messy.
Have you been taking a look, and do you know what the 4-inch soil temperature might be?
No, I haven't looked recently. I was actually looking at frost this morning and seeing where we had ended the growing season, but
we'll take that up. Where did we end
the growing
season?
Well, actually, now 32 degrees has now occurred throughout almost all of Missouri, much of Illinois, all of Wisconsin. But as far as a hard freeze now, that's been south all the way into northern Missouri. And we could see parts of Illinois and western Indiana seeing some pretty cold temperatures tonight. Air is very dry. We've pretty much lost much in the way of wind, high pressure over us. So it's going to be a chilly night tonight. And anybody who has tender plants out, they want to try and keep them for another week or two, probably would do well to get out there and get them covered up tonight, because it's going to be cold.
And finally, we have just a minute left. As a climatologist, I suspect you've been watching that big drought in the Southwest that talked about a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Are you worried about it continuing through the winter months?
Well, I think what the worry is that while it will likely rain and they'll get precipitation down there during the winter months, it's such a hole right now, it's such a deficit that it's going to be tough to make it up. And then with the expected conditions this winter with the La Nina developing, and if we have a pattern similar to last year, they're not going to come out of the winter in very good shape. So it's something we're watching. They'll get rain this winter, but the big question is be what happens in the spring again.
Thanks so much, Steve.
All right, Todd.
Steve Hilberg is the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. He joins us here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media at the University of Illinois.